Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The Gospel of John promises that the Holy Spirit would come and would abide in us forever, never to leave. And all genuine believers should live with and in this assurance. But though he never leaves us, it is possible for us to grieve him. And the Apostle Paul admonishes us not to do so in Ephesians 4. Listen, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption." If we do grieve him, we lose his presence, the satisfaction and enjoyment that only he can bring. These are the manifestations of grace. But more than losing these, we lose the capacity for living a life that expresses him. Learning to live Christ by not grieving the Spirit, that's our focus today, and Dick Taylor has joined us for this fellowship. Welcome back to the program, Dick.
Thank you, Chris. Good to be here, and oh, how we want to learn to take care of the Spirit.
Dick, that, I hope, really becomes evident today as the main thrust of our time together, this matter of the Spirit and grace. Even though we're going to be touching some things that seem a bit outward, many people confuse this matter with, I would think, behavioral things in an attempt not to grieve the Spirit. But we're going to see that it's really an inward experiential message today, isn't it, that we bring?
That's true. And that we're not talking about outward behavior. We're talking about the inward experience and enjoyment of Christ.
Dick, this little phrase or little verse that we read a moment ago about not grieving the Holy Spirit, it's sort of sandwiched in the midst of a number of things that Paul is talking about letting corrupt words, not letting corrupt words proceed out of our mouth, about not stealing, about working with our hands so that we wouldn't, you know, be inappropriately taking things from others. And as I said, things that can be construed as outward, and therefore it'd be easy to mistake this matter of grieving the Spirit with just our behavior. But what really is implied in this, in keeping the Spirit happy within us?
Well, God's goal is that we would live Christ and we would express him. Like Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ." And Christ himself is the unique pattern of somebody as a man who expressed God. He was a God-man. He was a man who perfectly expressed divinity in his humanity. Now, this Christ is not only our outward pattern, but this Christ is also the life-giving Spirit to be enjoyed by us. So if we want to have the details of his life and his living, we need to be those who take care of the Spirit. And like this verse says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God." Actually, it means do not grieve the grace. This Holy Spirit is also the grace, the one to be enjoyed by us, to allow us and to afford us a way to live out all the details of the Christian life so that God could be expressed through our human living. So we're not talking about something that's mechanical, just in a way of outward behavior. We're talking about experiencing Christ as grace, enjoying him, and then spontaneously we live him with all these little details that are mentioned in these verses, like not lying to each other, don't let the sun go down on your anger, don't steal, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. How is it possible to have all these details in your daily living? It's impossible by mere outward behavior. We need grace. We need to enjoy this Christ so that we could automatically and spontaneously just live him and be like Paul, "For to me to live is Christ."
Dick, grace is mentioned in this chapter. And of course, I think for our listeners who were with us in the last couple of programs, they realize the context that we're in here in chapter 4. The key verse, probably verse 20 that we touched yesterday, "But you did not so learn Christ."
Amen.
And then continuing, "If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. Wonderful composition here. We really enjoyed these two verses in our program yesterday. So this is the context. It's in the context of learning Christ. And in that context, Paul uses two wonderful words that the Apostle John also used again and again in his ministry, in his gospel. And those are
truth and grace.
And grace, right. And of course, a well-known verse in the Gospel of John chapter 1, the Apostle John mentions these two words twice in the first chapter. In verse 14, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen.
Or grace and reality. This word in Greek has both meanings, doesn't it, Dick?
It surely does.
In the context we're in today, we're going to primarily use truth here, but meaning everything that is not vanity is reality and is the truth.
Amen.
Okay, and then also in verse 17 in chapter 1 of John, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth, or grace and reality, came through
Jesus Christ.
How about we join Witness Lee?
In the New Testament, you have two pairs of wonderful things. One pair, grace and truth. Another pair, love and light. In the Gospel of John, you have the first pair, grace and truth. But in the first epistle of John, you have love and light. God is love, and God is light. Grace is the expression. Love is the source. Love is within, in the heart. And grace is without, in the action. These two things are actually not two things. These two things, grace and truth, are two ends of one thing. At the upper end, in God's heart, it was love. Then, when it is expressed, love becomes grace. It is the same principle with light and truth. Light is the upper end with God, and truth is with us. Light is the source of truth, and truth is the expression, the shining of light. All the details in our living, in our daily walk, for all learning of Christ, is wrapped up with these matter grace. If we don't have grace, we can never make up to have all these positive, wonderful details in our daily walk for all learning of Christ. What is the principle of such a living or such a life for all learning of Christ? The principle is wrapped up with the truth. And what is the detail of such a life for our learning of Christ? I tell you, the details are wrapped up with grace. If you have the truth, you have the principles. Then if you have the grace, you can make up the details for our learning of Christ. In other words, for our being conformed to the image of Christ, we need the principle and we need the details.
Well, we have truth and we have grace, Dick. The truth, he said, is related to the principles, and grace is related to the details. What principles, what details are we talking about when we see and read of grace and truth?
I was touched with this, Chris, that Christ is altogether wonderful. You know why?
Why?
Because he's both the truth and the grace.
Right.
As the truth, he's the pattern. He's the mold. He's the one who perfectly lived God. He never lived by his human life. He lived by the divine life as a man, perfectly expressing God. So this one is the truth. This one is the pattern. This one is the mold. But you cannot just outwardly imitate him and try to get all the details of his living into your living by your sweat and by your own endeavoring.
Right, your own effort.
Your own effort. But this same Christ who is the truth, the pattern, the mold, is also today the life-giving Spirit to be grace to us, so that all the details that were in His life as the truth can now be worked out and lived out in us by us enjoying Him. So we could say the truth is really the pattern, the mold. The grace is Christ Himself supplying us to live according to that principle, according to that pattern, and according to that mold. So the truth is really high, but hallelujah, grace is our supply. So that we can live out all these details for God's expression in our human life on this earth. So I just appreciate this.
You know, Dick, these verses that immediately follow the one we opened up with about not grieving the Holy Spirit, let all bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be removed from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ also forgave you. These are the details that grace brings to us, aren't they?
That's true. And without grace, we could never be that kind of person with those kind of details. Your wife says something wrong, and right away you fly off the handle. You want to submit to somebody instead of submitting to them. You want to put them under your subjection. We just find it's impossible. It's kind of like an illustration, like you have a long balloon and has written on one end humility and on the other end pride. And the more you work on the one end to become a humble person, you just want to be so humble, have that detail, then the more you become proud of your humility.
You just push the air down to the other end.
Yeah. So there's no way out. The only way is to enjoy Christ as grace.
Wow, because Christ only can be humble and not be proud.
That's right.
Okay, Dick, let's go on. In this next section, I think it'd be good just to come back to these two verses that really are sort of the keystone of this whole section in Ephesians 4. But you did not so learn Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus.
Amen.
I just like those verses, Dick.
Oh, me too.
We should pray read those verses, Dick.
Amen. Let's do it.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
The principle for such a life of our learning of Christ is truth. We learn Christ as the truth is in Jesus. And this is the truth, the pattern, the mold that has been set up by Christ. And what is the pattern? The pattern is having put off the old man and having put on the new man. So in verses 17 through 24, the principle of our renewed daily living for our learning of Christ is the truth, the kind of living that Jesus had when He was on this earth. I tell you, that kind of living was always putting off the human life and putting on the divine life. And this was the life of Jesus set up as a pattern. Whether you should fight with your wife, whether you should gossip or not, all has to be checked with this principle. It is not to be checked by an ethical standard. That is Confucius' teaching. And that standard is good, but too low. Our standard and our principle in the Bible, in our daily walk, for our learning of Christ is high. And what is the principle? That is, having put off the old man and having put on the new man. We all have to practice this principle of the truth.
Dick, this is a deep and profound point, and it's one that when Ron Kangas was here, we were talking about this same thing. He was quite burdened that we do our best to convey the real intrinsic element. And, you know, we've talked already that we're not here to conform to an outward ethical standard and somehow equate that with the truth. But he said something I wrote down as he was speaking here. It touched me, and I hope this helps to convey it. And then maybe you could just pick it up and develop it a bit more. The truth, or the pattern, is not external, but the kind of living that Christ had on the earth. How it's the kind of living that He had on the earth, not an external pattern. How is that different?
His living on the earth was not merely an external pattern in the sense that He was somebody putting off the human life, to live by the divine life.
Right.
No human had ever done that. He was not living by some external pattern. He was living the God-man living. He was living a life of putting off the old man with the old creation and putting on the new man. So I really appreciate that we're not here just trying to live up to or live out a life according to some ethical standard of human behavior. But the Lord lived a life of not living by his human life, but living by the divine life, putting off the human life, putting on and living by the divine life. That is the new man. So this is very much higher than just living according to an ethical standard. And for us to enter into this kind of living, there is a verse that's really precious, Chris, right between 22 and 24, and that's 23.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So we believers can enter into this principle anytime and every time we practice to exercise our spirit, to enjoy the Lord, to call on him, to open to him. Then automatically, at that moment, we're people not living by our human life, but living by the divine life. In fact, putting off the human life and putting on the divine life, putting off the old man and putting on the new man for the Lord's expression.
And Dick, this is absolutely different from just putting off our bad behavior.
That's
and
right.
Thinking that that's putting off the old man. You said two or three times, Christ was the pattern in that he put off the human life.
That's right.
Not just the bad part of the human life.
Right.
That means the whole human life, good, bad, the whole works was put off, right?
That's right. He did not live by his human life as the source. Like John 6:57 says, as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of him. Mm-hmm. Then the second half of the verse says, so he who eats me shall also live because of me. So may we be those who exercise our spirit to enjoy him, eat him, and live because of him, not because of and not by the source of our human life, good or bad.
And I'm glad you brought up John 6:57 and brings us to the matter of eating and enjoying, which really is how we experience grace. And that's our final segment today. So let's go back to Witness Lee.
The principle is of the truth. But now grace is involved with the details of such a living for us to learn Christ. At every point, we need the grace. Grace is just Christ, God himself in Christ as our enjoyment. When we have Christ as our enjoyment, I'm full of the enjoyment. I'm filled up with Christ. This is grace. If we are filled up to our brim with Christ, everything other than Christ is gone. Hallelujah. Christ is my satisfaction. Christ is everything to me, so I've been fully satisfied. I don't need anything else. It is by grace that we can have such a wonderful life with all the marvelous details. No bitterness, no wrath, no anger, no clamor, only singing, only praying, kindness, patience, mercy, and love, and even forgiveness. All these things come from what? From grace, from Christ being my enjoyment. When you don't feel happy within you, that is not you. That is actually the Spirit of God. He feels unhappy about you. When he feels happy, then you'll be happy. When you are not happy, that means the Holy Spirit is not happy within you, but grieved by your misled life. The proper life is the living according to the principle of the truth and in details of grace. Such a living by the principle of truth, in details of grace, always makes the Holy Spirit happy within us, so we have the joy of the Spirit. Then we are joyful. Then being kind one to another, tender-hearted. Only grace could make our heart tender. only grace, then we become a tender-hearted person. Then, forgiving one another, I tell you, in our daily walk, day after day, we need to ask forgiveness of others. And at the same time, we need to give others the forgiveness, because all of us are easy to offend others and to be offended. So if we offend, we ask for forgiveness. If we are offended, we give forgiveness to others. As God in Christ forgive us.
Dick, there is a common teaching that says that grace is unmerited favor and that truth here means to be right in doctrine. If that's the extent of our, not just understanding, but of our apprehension of these two words, then these things that he just talked about, the kindness, the tenderheartedness, the forgiving one another, will be outside of our grasp, won't they?
They surely will. Hallelujah for the up-to-date definition of truth and grace.
Yes.
Truth is just Christ realized by us.
Wow.
And grace is just Christ enjoyed by us. And when we have the enjoyment, when we have Christ as our enjoyable supply, then all these details are here. I just appreciate so much, Chris, even in our daily life, like in our married life, you know, sometimes things happen between us and you don't want to apologize or you don't want to forgive or whatever. And sometimes, like my wife and I, maybe something comes up and both go to bed at night. You lay down beside one another. It's silent, but both know there's a problem.
Yes.
But if we would turn to the Lord, right, exercise there. Our spirit and enjoy grace, right away there's a desire to apologize. There's a desire to forgive. There's a desire to receive, to love. And then all the details of this new man living that are given in chapter 4 are ours spontaneously by grace. So grace is not merely unmerited favor, but grace is God in Christ as the Spirit to be our life and our life supply for our enjoyment. And I like this, Chris, don't you? That when we're enjoying Christ, when we're loving him, oh, Lord, I love you. You know what? Bitterness is gone. Anger is gone. Hatred is gone.
Yeah.
All these evil things are gone. Corrupt words are gone. And what's there? Just Christ. Christ being given to each other so that we can be builded up in him to be his testimony and his expression. We become human beings that are saturated and permeated with Christ so that we could say with Paul, for to me to live is Christ.
And really, Dick, this is what it is to learn Christ.
Amen. So let's learn Christ.
Amen. Always a lot of enjoyment when you come, Dick, and so the door is always open when you are able to join us. I love our times together as we fellowship over these wonderful life study messages, and Ephesians is just full of them, isn't it?
Amen. Ephesians is full of them, and I love walking through that open door.
That's it for today. Thanks for being here, Dick.
You're welcome, Brother Chris.
And for Dick Taylor, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for being here as well.